I think passion goes a long way in the kingdom of God, don't you? I mean, you get passionate about something, not anything can really hold you back. I'm passionate about something this evening. We're in a series called The Tangled Web We Weave, and Pastor Jason spoke last week, and I want to continue on that. This evening, I want to talk to you about loopholes. And it seems as though in our culture today that everybody looks for loopholes. And even in the church, a lot of times we look for loopholes. When we read the Bible, sometimes we're like, yeah, well, what about this? And if we're not careful, we'll begin to accept things in our lives that God doesn't accept, and to negotiate. You got any negotiators? To negotiate with God things that are really for Him are non-negotiables. So in my preparing, I thought that I would bring and give you a little illustration. This is a loop right here, and this is a loophole. In order for something to go through this, it has to fit through this. This is another loop, and this is a loophole right there. So if we want this rope to function the way that it was designed to function, there has to be good balance in this rope, and it has to, what we actually do is we feed that rope until it feels right, and there's a margin that you can feed that rope to be successful with it. Now, you can feed it too much or not enough, and you won't be near as successful if you don't do it the correct way. In our lives, I was thinking about this evening. I didn't talk about this yesterday, but my son, when he was 5 years old, I was in his bedroom and I was talking to him about something that was pretty important. And I told him, I said, Caleb, we need to live our lives in the right way, don't we? And he said this, damn rights. 5 years old. Well, I got your attention now, didn't I? And he didn't know. He didn't know that he wasn't supposed to say that. He'd heard some little kids say that at school. And it was like, apparently, that's the way we communicate. He'd not ever heard that at our house, but he heard it at school. So I had to explain to Caleb that wasn't within the margin that we lived. That I understand that you haven't been taught this before, so you're not in trouble. But you have to understand that we don't talk like that in our home, and that's not acceptable. What we have to do in our own world, and many of you have kids or grandkids, and then some of you are kids, and you have to figure out the margins that God has called you to live in. Now, when we want to be successful, we practice. And when you want to live for God, you have to practice living for God. If you want to do a good job, it's not just something that you do periodically, but it's something that you practice doing. So I can't tell you how many hours I've just practiced doing that. Just practice and practice and practice. And there's people here tonight. I know there's a lot of y'all out there that if I just say, come up and rope this, you could do it just like this. Or even better. But it takes a lot of practice. But that rope is under control. It's under the control of the master. Now the loop, if I turn loose of the loop, it goes down to nothing. And that loop, I can control that loop if I do it the right way. I can make it grow. Because any 8-year-old kid could do this with 15 years of practice. But you see, it doesn't slip. Do you hear it? It's coming back. It's staying within the margin so that we can be successful with it. Like that. And if you practice a lot, you can do it like this. So, I thought I'd just, to further this point, one of the things that I think is important in all of our lives, a lot of y'all are married, the married people have to have margin in their lives. What that means is that you spend the amount of time making investments in your marriage. As you can see, I like to rope. But if my roping robbed me of my time with Darla, then my life and my margins wouldn't be right. So, it's the same way. A lot of times, if we're not careful, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. Even if you still live at home with your mom and dad, you have to have time and put time into your life to invest into your relationship. Listen to this, with your mom and dad. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, I'm too busy to do some things like that. So I want to give you one more trip before I leave. This is called a wedding ring. Darla, come up here a second if you don't mind. Easy, baby. There we go. That's the margin. Thank you. We had it going for a second. But it doesn't matter what you do in life. And a lot of times, I'm telling you, in this culture we live in, we have to be careful that our work doesn't get out of control. That we spend so much time working that we don't have time to spend with our family member. We don't have time to volunteer to do something at church. I got all night. Isn't it true, though, that we, because I know it's hard, because I'm one of them guys, when I do something, I just jump all the way in it and just bury myself up in it. And generally, if I'm not careful, something else suffers in my life. And it's been the same way with my marriage. I mean, there's been times that I just got so caught up in roping that my marriage suffered. I'll just confess this on a Monday night because nobody else is here. But one time we was doing a He Paid Your Fees calf open, which is one of the biggest events that we do here. And our marriage wasn't in good shape at all. And I knew if I didn't do something, it wasn't Darla, but if I didn't do something, we was going to have some problems. And we took off for a marriage encounter weekend, the same weekend as the He Paid Your Fees calf open, and let somebody else preach. Now, was that the right thing to do? You better believe it. What kind of preacher would if I was a great preacher, but I failed with my marriage, what good would that do? So we have to value balance and margin in our life. And if we're not careful, we'll look for loopholes. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. If we're not careful, we will look for loopholes to justify not having margin in our lives. And it doesn't matter if it's with your mouth. You say, well, sometimes I just gotta cuss. No, you don't. You don't gotta cuss. But if you say you gotta cuss, you'll keep cussing. But if that ever becomes unacceptable to you, you'll get the victory over it. Amen. Okay, I'll move on. Loopholes. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse 1. There's a scripture that it says, in him we live and move and have our being. In other words, in Christ we live, in Christ we move, and we move the way he calls us to move, and we have our being in him. When we've accepted him as our Savior, then we automatically accept him as our Lord. Please understand, there is two different dynamics when we say, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Because a lot of people just want a Savior, and they want things to be okay with God so they can make it to heaven. But I'll say this, if heaven is more important to you than Jesus, you got a problem. You might want to write that down. It's good stuff. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. Y'all remember Saul. First king of Israel. The people of Israel, they said, oh God, give us a king, give us a king. It wasn't enough to have God be their king. They wanted a king. So God gave them what they asked for. So Samuel, he's the prophet. He said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, go attack Amalek and utterly destroy all. Everybody say all. Utterly destroy all that they have. And do not spare them specifically, but kill both man, woman, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Now, if you have spent very much time in our culture, which you have, you've heard people say that God in the Old Testament, that just doesn't seem like a loving God, and I'm not going to serve him because I don't agree with him. First of all, we don't have all the information here. Secondly, some of the information that we do have, we understand that the Amalekites were a direct opposition to God, and that the Amalekites were enemies of God. And that anybody growing up in that time would always be an enemy of God. And then he said this, destroy the animals, everybody. And you're like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Okay, we're going to move on then. Verse 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive. Did you catch that? Kept him alive. Kept him alive. And utterly destroyed the people by the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the people of the and the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, the fatlings, and the lambs. And all that was good. They reasoned among themselves. Y'all staying with me, I hope. They were doing what they thought was right. I'm sure y'all never done that. And they were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, the things that made sense, that they utterly destroyed. So verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, the prophet, saying, I greatly regret that I have set Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, did y'all catch that? Samuel, right after God told him to do something, he got up early and got after it. Now, compare Samuel to Saul. Saul's like, what's a few sheep? What's a few oxen? What's the king? What's it say? So Samuel got up early to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed, listen to this, he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Saul's already believing his own press, and Saul's just like, I'm so cool. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you. Saul said to Samuel, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Here's Saul. You know he already feels guilty. I've performed the commandment of the Lord. Right off the bat. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? So Samuel walks up and saw, oh, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. And then out behind the barn, Samuel hears, what meaneth this? What mean? What about them sheep back there? Saul. What about the sheep? What about the lowing? Stick around. Listen to this. And Saul said, they. Everybody say they. This is so typical. They have brought them from the Amalekites for the people. The people. Yeah. It was the people. They spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. To sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So we're good here. We're good. Samuel, we're good. Have you ever told God when he asked you to do something, hey, I'm good. Partial disobedience is really total. Partial obedience is really total disobedience. Oh, but I killed some of them. Partial obedience is really total disobedience. Loopholes. Because we do some things good, we're okay. This is the culture of America today. Because we do some things good, we're okay. Now, God, I don't agree with you on these things because, I'm going to be a Christian anyway. I'm a Christian, but this one thing, let's not talk about that. I am a Christian. Y'all with me? So here's old Saul. Verse 22, so Samuel said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? But Lord, you know I sacrifice my time. I give money. I do this. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, but Lord, you don't know what I've done for you. Listen, to obey is better than sacrifice. But Lord, I teach a Sunday school class. I teach a class at the school. I do this. I volunteer. I work in a parking lot. To obey is better than sacrifice. But Lord, you know, I give $100 every Monday night.
To obey is better than y'all. Are y'all with me? You getting a hold of this? Too many times we want to justify the unjustifiable, and we put margin where God never intended for margin to be. There are laws that work in the kingdom of God. Even though we are in the dispensation of grace, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. It doesn't mean that we don't live by the rules that God has placed for us. That Jesus fulfilled some of those commandments. We don't have to sacrifice the animals anymore. There's a lot of things we don't have to do because Jesus did it. But we still have to love our neighbor. We still have to love God. We still have to stop lying. We have got to stop being murderers. We've got to be faithful to the word of God and not reinterpret or reinvent. God, help us. Help me. Don't we all need help with this? So if we don't know what God said, or we don't read our Bible, so like you're just dependent on the preacher to give you everything you got, is that enough? No. 100 times, no. You are going to be responsible for your own self when you stand before God, and your preacher won't be there to explain things to you. Now, they won't preach to you like that in the foo-foo church. It won't happen. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And really, when we say, God, I'm not going to do that, you know what that is? It's rebellion, and it's as the sin of witchcraft. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, Samuel said. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I know we don't have any stubborn people out there. We were okay on the rebellion deal, but sometimes we can be a little stubborn. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord. Everybody say the word of the Lord. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord. And your words, because you rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared. I feared the people. I'm not going to raise my hands in church. I'm afraid of what people think. I'm not going to stand up for God. I'm afraid. He says, I didn't do this because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Whose voices are you listening to? I'm going to tell you what. A lot of times what happens in church, let me just give you a little secret. It kind of is a secret. When people are straying away from God, they always look for somebody who will agree with them. You know, they're not going to come to me, I promise you. Because they don't want to hear what I got to say, because it takes me about 30 seconds. I'm a suck-it-up counselor. You get it? I don't even hardly counsel people anymore because of that. But if we're not careful, we will listen to other people's voices and we'll just, and the scripture talks about having itching ears to hear what everybody has to say. But we'll look for people who will agree with our opinion instead of going to the word of God. Well, I'm just going to divorce her. She got problems. Well, maybe you got a problem too. Maybe we can help the both problems. Because honestly, here's the deal. Here's the deal. A lot of times, if we will act like God has directed us to act, if both parties will participate, God can save any marriage. If both parties will participate, but usually you got a stubborn one somewhere along the way. And you know what it says about stubborn people. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but what I'm saying is that if you've gone through a divorce, that's in your past and you can't do nothing about it. So don't wear the shame of anything that's happened in your past. But you can do something about today. You can do something about tomorrow. You can acknowledge God and let him take what you have now. Let him take what you, and don't let the devil use, if you were stubborn in the past, give it to God and walk away from it. Let him forgive you, and because the devil wouldn't like anything more than for you to live in your past, in your past problems, because you can't do anything about it. He's really good at all my mess ups. Bring that up. Like, No, it's under the blood. I've asked Christ to forgive me. But listen to this. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. It sounds like he's saying all the right things, doesn't it? But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Here's what happened right there. Saul changed his words, but he never changed his heart. You can say the right things all the time because you've been around enough Christians. We know all the words to say. This is what God's interested in. God looks on your heart. And your attitude and your words and the things that you, who you are, because God gives this organ that pumps blood, he gives it the symbolism of life. And when you take care of your heart and guard your heart from bitterness, from strife, and don't allow yourself to be jaded by the things in your past, everybody's got a past, and everybody's got issues that just grind on you. But if you can get past those things and rise up above those things, because you are valued in the kingdom of God, and the enemy cannot hold anything against you that you have put under the blood of Jesus. What I mean by that is when Jesus died on the cross, he died for your sin problem, for my sin problem, so that we don't have to live in those sins anymore, and we can be redeemed, and we can have the freedom of walking in the light as he shed that light in our path, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You don't have to live in that way anymore. So here's what happens. If we are living in I'll just call it this, the trash of our past. If we are living there, it's our personal choice. It's not God's plan. So when we get up in the morning, I do this, not every morning, but a lot of mornings. I pray this prayer. I say, Lord, your will be done here on earth as you have planned it in heaven. What you have planned for me in heaven for this day, what your plan is for this day for me, may it happen here on earth. And I'm going to tell you something. God's plan is not for you to live in the trash of your past. Amen. But you see, Saul had too big of an ego. He had too much of an attitude problem. He thought he was all that in a box of chocolates. He forgot that God was the one that put him up there. It was God that blessed him. It was God that gave him the ability to gain wealth. It was God that gave him the position of being the king. If you have any good thing in your life, it came from God. Don't ever forget that.
Amen. I guess I just want to talk to you tonight. There's a king. Can you remember his name? I think his name is Hezekiah, I think. King Hezekiah. God brought him up. And then the Bible says that he took his kingdom away from him and he turned him out, literally turned him out to pasture. And the Bible says that his fingernails grew like eagle's claws and his hair like eagle's feathers. And it said after, I don't even remember for sure, it was after a couple of years, God restored his kingdom back to him. Do y'all remember that story? Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't that what I said? I know it. Isn't it? It was Nebuchadnezzar. For all you Bible people. See, that's why you need to listen to the preacher. You better pay attention in your Bible. Here's what it says at the end of that book. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar said this. He said this. He said, now I know that God rules in the kingdoms of men. And whom he wills, he is more than able to abase. Them some powerful words. But he learned his lesson. And listen, whatever, this is the way I look at life, whatever I have to go through, whatever God has to take me through to bring me close to him, it'll be worth it in the light of eternity. Every bad problem you've had in your life, you can make good come from it if you'll let God get in the middle of it. He'll bring good out of it and you'll learn some things that you never would have known. You'd never been able to help somebody else with unless you'd have gone through it. And God can take that problem and he can make praise come out of your problem if you'll give your heart to him. Amen. I got a lot of notes. If you want to hear this sermon, you can listen to it online. When I was a little boy, I was about 12 years old. No, probably about 14. My dad bought me a horse I could rope calves off of. And some of y'all heard this story, but you bear with me. It fits. This horse was fine, and he had a lot of ability. He had a lot of talent. But every once in a while, when you was roping a calf, and you just stand up in them stirrups, he just bog his head and just buck you off. I mean, and when he buck you off, he buck you off. I mean, I'm not talking about a little crow hopper. I'm talking about NFR type bucking. He could buck. He could really buck. And my dad, he's like, Randy, you got to stop letting that horse buck you off. That's not good. I'm like, that guy was doing it on purpose. Finally, one day, Smokey bucked me off. And Dad, you'd have to know my dad to really appreciate this, but he came up to me and said, give me that horse. And I was like, fine. And I didn't do that, but I was glad that he got on. So he got on, and we got some sand hills on the other side of the road. And Dad got on old Smokey, and he's running him across them sand hills. He went over the hill just whipping a spur on old Smokey, and I'm like, good for you. That's good. I hated that horse. About 10 minutes later, old Smokey comes back by himself. And about 20 minutes later, Dad come walking back. And when he walked back, I so much wanted to say, you're going to have to stop letting that horse buck you off. But I wasn't going to see that. I was like, I'm not stupid. We sold that horse to, he kind of reminded me of one of them old Oklahoma horse traders that, you know, that wear the wife beaters and tuck his pants in his boot. And he goes, he's like, he spit his tobacco, you know. And we told him, he said, man, that horse bucks. And yeah, I never seen a horse I couldn't get right. It was, this one's different. And so we sold him to him. We told him, listen, it's not Walmart. You can't bring him back. It's a sealed deal. And so two weeks later, he calls back, and old Smokey bucked him off and broke his arm. And it was like he wanted to give us. We said, no, we're not taking him back. Here's my point. My point is that there are horses that just look for ways to please you. They're just like, they're so fun to be around. Because they're just like, whatever you want, I'm here for you. And then there's horses that try to get out of things. And if they don't like what's going on, they just try to get out of it. And it's just like, I'm not going to do that. Bow up, you know, rebel and all that. I'm not going to do that. God didn't make me like that. It's just the way I am. Go to bucking. Y'all with me? So here we are. Here we are. And so the challenge tonight with all this margin, what we do, we figure out we don't want to be like Saul. We don't want to be the guy that just like it has partial obedience. We want to be in total obedience, but the only way that's going to happen is when we submit to God and we become humble people and we stop being so arrogant that people around us can't help us, God can't help us, because we already got it all figured out. Well, it's just the way I am. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not growing, I don't care how old you are, you got a problem. Am I right? It doesn't. Listen, we all have to grow in the Lord. And I'll just say this. The closer I get to God, the more I realize I got a long way to go to get close to God. So we should all be maturing in Christ, no matter how old we are. No matter how, we should always be maturing in Christ. My challenge to you this evening is to be humble. And to be teachable and to stay within the margin that God created you to stay in, and let everything in your life be the way God planned it to be, and don't let any loopholes keep you from your destiny. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all you do for us. Lord, I praise you. I worship you. I pray, oh God, that you just help this word that you've given us tonight. The dynamics of Saul's life and the dynamics of Samuel's life and the dynamics of all of us, Lord, what you called us to do and who you've called us to be, that we would just humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. The interesting thing about the kingdom of God is that God doesn't ever make you serve him. He doesn't make me serve him. He wants people to serve him because they love him. You see, it wouldn't be heaven if there's a bunch of people up there that didn't like God or didn't like his word. So what his plan has been for us to figure out what he wants and to the best of our abilities to follow him. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. But the Bible says that if we confess our sin, that he will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus talked to a guy, his name is Nicodemus, and he said, if you want to go to be a part of the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. See, we were all born of water when we were born from our mama, but being born again is a spiritual rebirth that Jesus said, if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you must be born again. If you've never been, born again, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like to give you that opportunity this evening simply by raising your hand. Say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need God in my life. I just know that I need Jesus. Slip your hand up high. Anybody, preacher, that's me. I want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody, preacher, that's me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it back there. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Don't let pride keep you out of heaven. My goodness, it's sure not worth it. Sure not worth it. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody? Anybody? If you raise your hand, would you mind looking up at me? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Would you mind coming up? Thank you. I'd be honored to pray with you. It's a privilege. Such a privilege. So proud of you. That's so good. You know, it's amazing. What's so cool about this? Tell me your name. Elaine. I'm Randy. It's good to meet you. What's so cool about this is that Jesus died for everybody. Everybody recognizes it. And what you've done tonight, you're like, I see I need Jesus. So what I want to do, I want to help you pray, okay? He said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we'd be saved. So what I can do, I can help you pray, but you have to believe in your heart, okay? Hold my hand. Just repeat after me. Y'all help us pray. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my life.
I invite you into my life.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you.
Help me to read my Bible.
Help me to read my Bible.
To pray.
To pray.
Show up for church.
Get baptized.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Teach me to love you more.
Teach me to love you more.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Now what you'll do, listen, for the rest of your life, he'll be teaching you how to love him more. And what a great lesson that'll be. I'm so happy for you. What a cool deal. On a Monday night. And all your sins are forgiven. All your sins. Don't let the devil bring up anything in your past. You take this day. You walk forward. Peace. Amen. Proud of you. Hey, go visit those ladies for just a second, if you don't mind. Thank you. Stand with me, please. How sweet is that? When I was preaching, if the Holy Spirit convicted you maybe of some loopholes in your life that you'd allow to come into your life, I'd like to pray for you right now. So if you're like, you know, there's some things that I've allowed in my life and I know it's a loophole and I need to not justify that anymore. Raise your hand. Preacher, that's me. I got to get it right. Oh, I love y'all. Thank you so much. Yeah. Let's raise both hands and surrender to God. Lord, with our hands lifted up and with our mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, we bless you, O Lord. We lift everybody up to you, Lord, that has raised their hands, O God. I pray that you would help us all to continue to confess our sin to you, to be faithful to you. And Lord, in areas where we're not faithful, Lord, help us. Help those things not to be acceptable anymore. Help us, Lord, not to try to negotiate your word anymore. May we realize and understand that when we hold ourselves accountable to you, oh God, that that comes with peace. So I pray, oh God, that you help us all, Lord, to be faithful in every area of our lives. Lord, to live our lives within the margins that you created us to live in, because we know that in those margins is where you're at, and that's where the peace is for our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now listen, we got this. Got our altars up here. If you'd like to come up, spend some time in prayer, invite you to come. We've got a prayer team up if you need any special prayer. We love y'all. Thank you so much for being here.